So this week, the question is, are you going longer, deeper, and wider? And I'm not talking about football because it's not even football season.
Yes.
Prayer time.
We're inside of 100 days until football season, actually.
Wow.
And just yesterday, the Texas Tech Red Raider football team was moving into the dorms for the first time. Football's almost here. Oh, wait, what are we talking about?
Prayer. Welcome to Rabbit Trails, where we explore Sunday's sermon for deeper theological connections and wider life applications, because you just can't say it all on Sunday.
Rabbit Trails is the ministry of Radiant Church in Austin, Texas, and today we're discussing the sermon from Sunday, June 3rd, 2018. You can listen to the sermon by visiting radiantaustin.com. I'm Brian Payne.
I'm Andy Snyder.
The preacher.
And the prof. So, welcome back, of course.
Thank you.
We actually had to take a hiatus from Rabbit Trails last week because you and I were both out of town, although you were much farther out of town than I was.
I passed over Pennsylvania.
You did. You did. And went all the way to Romania.
Yeah, we were just getting started by the time we got over Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. You were just settling in.
And I don't know how much to take for truth of the little screen I stared at for so many hours showing where your plane was going.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we went up over the North Pole and then back down. I thought the fastest line was, you know, like a straight line, but apparently no, we catapulted over almost like for sure up and over like
Greenland.
Yeah, Greenland. Yeah. And then just free fall right down into Romania.
Wow. Well, we'll get somebody who's better at geography to help you with that.
Yeah.
And hopefully figure it out.
Maybe Captain Quayar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carlos will tell you all about it, but
I keep taking this everywhere you say it's not supposed to go.
Football, Romania. Okay, let's go back to prayer. Let's go back to Ephesians 6. So in Ephesians 6, we're coming into the end of the letter. Paul's just about to wrap things up, but he does this by talking about prayer in the context of, and we've got to remember the context is spiritual warfare, that we are fighting against an enemy that we can't see that is, you know, motivating the forces of evil, the bad stuff that happens in our lives. So Paul says that you can have all the armor, you can pick up all the weapons that God has provided, but if you aren't alert, if you're not cultivating vigilance, then you're still going to fall in battle. So the way we do that is through prayer. So in Ephesians 6, we spent almost all the time in verse 18 looking at the when, the what, the how, and the who of prayer. There are all sorts of ways we can go with this. There are people that really responded well. I noticed that the prayer list this week, I really got on everybody about the connection cards and submitting. Tell us how we can pray for you, because how can I have your back in the battle if I don't know what's going on, right? So we got a prayer list this week that's about four times the size of what we've had the last, you know, few weeks or so. Yeah.
And then the question always
excited
is,
about that,
how long will that last?
Right.
Right? Because you bring something like this to everyone's attention, bring it to my attention, it's like, you're right, we need to be praying, and we're all going to pray.
And then it fades out.
I don't know if people picked up on the volume there, but that's like a fading out.
Yeah, right.
But that definitely, and here's the thing, I love the praying at all times, because our church knows I love passages with the word all. Be patient with all. Pray at all times, because it takes all the question marks out of, like, when should I be doing this? Like, all. Okay, got it. Yep. I know when that is. But it also is a reminder to me so much for my life what prayer is. And it is a dependence piece that I struggle with. It's always of the gauges on the dashboard of my own soul. How I'm doing in prayer is to me the marker of how I'm really doing. I can convince myself and others that I'm doing good by other stuff, but personal private prayer and prayer with others, but people see that, the private prayer and what that looks like, the intensity of it, really screams how dependent does Brian think he is at the moment, how alert and aware is he to the real battle, or how much is he just kind of coasting and about to get knocked off his feet?
Yeah. And that connects it directly to that military image that we're in the middle of, or have been in the middle of here in Ephesians 6. If you were in combat training, and your drill sergeant, your trainer, whatever, said, if you don't get this skill down, then you are 90% likely to die in battle, then you would probably pay attention, right? Mm-hmm. You would pay attention, you would work hard at that skill, and you would master that thing because of the urgency of it, because your life depends on it. And we just don't get the sense that our lives depend on prayer.
Right.
That's a key weakness in many of us. And we all go through at least seasons where we treat prayer as if it's kind of an optional, you know, kind of an optional thing. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't help to flog people into prayer, right?
No.
If you guilt trip them into prayer, then like you said, it's going to fade. And it'll be gone in a matter of days.
Yeah. You can't guilt people into loving Christ and wanting to spend time with him. That's like trying to guilt somebody into, you know, loving their kids or their spouse, right? I mean, sure, that might get a little, it might produce something for a short term, but the biggest thing is for me to see it and to be moved into what you talk about with worship, to where this moves my heart to worship, and where I begin to see everything aligning properly in my life. My priorities begin to align properly. I begin to see Christ for who he is properly. I begin to evaluate the suffering and things in my life with the right perspective and giving it the necessary weight that it needs and not more. I begin to, here's what prayer does oftentimes for me. It gets my mind and my heart off of me, moves it to God and to others.
Yeah.
And when it moves to God and to others, it is worship, right? But it also is a salve for my soul.
Mm.
Because here's what I've found in my life and in anybody else I've ever counseled. Staring at myself and sitting and floating in my problems and my worries and my concerns, nothing's ever gotten better.
Yeah, right.
It's never actually improved anything.
Sure.
It just gets worse.
Marinating in your own misery is not the way to get outside of, transcend that, you know, that misery. What you said, perspective there, you mentioned perspective, and I think that's a key piece of this. One of the things that should motivate us to prayer is that it builds perspective. We begin to see when we're praying the way that Paul describes here in Ephesians 6, at all times, with all prayer, with all perseverance, and for all the saints. When we're praying like that, it lifts our perspective and we see ourselves, we see our problems, we see the world's problems in a new light. We see them from the perspective of the gospel. We see them from the perspective of a creating, sustaining, wise God who is, you know, guiding history toward its conclusion. And there's peace, right? We looked at Philippians 4:6, that when we bring everything to God in prayer, then he gives us a peace that otherwise we wouldn't have, right? Mm-hmm. A peace that passes understanding. We otherwise wouldn't have it because it wouldn't make sense for us to have peace. But when we have prayer, when our lives are, flavored and saturated with prayer like this, then that's possible.
Yeah. And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What you got?
You also mentioned worship, and that's part of that. That's part of that perspective, right? Prayer is worship. I mentioned this on Sunday, but we didn't really have a chance to get into it. But prayer is essentially an act of worship. And as long as you look at prayer as me sitting down with Jesus and handing him my list, here's all the stuff that I want, even when they're good things, right? I mean, give me what wisdom for this difficult thing, bring healing to so-and-so. We can ask God for lots of good things, but if we don't understand it as approaching the throne of grace— and receiving grace and mercy to help in time of need from a sovereign God, and through the agency of Jesus Christ, who's opened the door to the throne room of God for us. If you don't see it as worship, then it's still going to have this mechanical feeling to it, right? I am sitting down to worship Jesus now, not just to give him a list of things.
Something else on the task list, something else to check off to make sure I made God happy today so he doesn't do something to me.
Yes.
Well, there's like 10 things wrong in that statement, but we understand, like, that's not at all what we're going for. That's not what we're going for. It's not correct or true. It's not helpful, and it's not ever going to last, right? Mm, yeah. For so many reasons, that all breaks down. I want to shift a little to another issue on this of why I think this becomes a real struggle for us. I mean, I've already said it, but I think the greatest problem is this is a confession privately to the Lord of my dependence, right?
Yeah.
It's a confession of my inadequacy. It's a profession of my need. But having just come back from Romania, here's one of the things that I've found to be true. The people that struggle with prayer, I'm going to put this pretty broad, I understand there's plenty of exceptions, but in general, the people I think struggle with prayer the most are Americans.
Mm, interesting.
And you've traveled a lot internationally. Again, we can always pick exceptions to the rule, but I'm talking about as a category.
Sure.
Americans, Western culture people have the hardest time with prayer. And I don't know all the reasons. I haven't studied all of this. You know, I don't have any data to bring. But I would believe that it would come down to that issue of dependence. Mm-hmm. We are a people who are bred in every way to be independent.
Yes.
I don't need anyone. Neediness, right, is being vulnerable. Neediness is scary. Neediness shows weakness. I mean, on and on. This is a negative thing in our culture.
Yeah.
And so we go, and we work so hard to do all these things. And prayer is cool. It's nice. And sure, like you said, it's like cherry on top if you had time. But we need to make sure that we're doing the things in our life spiritually and in family and job that are actually producing results. And sure, sprinkle some prayer on there if that works.
Right, right. Because that's sort of the last little shove, right? That's like the ace in the hole. That's our secret weapon. A little bit of prayer thrown on there. And, you know, on Sunday, we sang a song in the worship service. If I have you and nothing else, I have everything.
Yeah.
And right after that song, we took the offering. I thought that was great. I got up there to introduce the offering time. And I was just so struck by what we had just sung. I said very much what you just said, that we are so conditioned in our culture to be self-dependent, right? To be independent, to not depend on anyone else. And we're so wealthy compared to the rest of the world, much of it, that this idea that all I really need is Christ, man, that's such a good perspective setting. We're back to perspective. It's a perspective setting truth, perspective setting thought for us.
Yeah. This is shameful, but if I could share a little a story here that I believe drives to the point I'm trying to make, a little anecdotal for you this morning. As we are over in Romania, we're in a city called Iași, and you know, you're seeing everywhere you go a culture that is trying to move out of communism that just fell in 1989. But it's not like you flip a switch,
yeah,
right? And confusion and differences in what people think, and what blew me away is one person, I read one article and I ran this by multiple people and said the article says that if communism was still allowed, and if Ceausescu was still alive and were to run for prime minister, that he would win by a landslide.
That's incredible.
And I'm like, there's no way that's true. And I ran it person after person, and they all agreed, yeah, that's probably true.
Wow.
So you have people who are wrestling with so much. I mean, the church has only been able to come from underground, right? Like within my lifetime easily, but really only within less than 20 years. So there's still such a need and a dependence upon the Lord. And again, even the way I just phrased that makes it sound like, but we don't have that need. But they sense it in a real way.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the embarrassing story. I'm meeting, my brother Yosef for the first time. He's the guy that planted the Harvest Bible Chapel there in Iași. And he says he really wanted to walk us through like his life and help us to understand him and all these things. So he wanted to take us to this piece of land that he's purchased that they're going to put a house on for him and his family. And we're walking around, and this is where the house is going to go, and here's where the chickens will be, and here's where our crops will be. And then this is where I'm going to put a room for me. And before I let him finish, this is where my shame comes. I'm like, oh, sweet, you're going to have like a man cave. And he kind of looked at me like, what's a man cave? You know? And so Kurt fills in for me, Kurt Vanmon, like, yeah, you know, like a big TV. And you know, I'm like, yeah, a place to watch football and stuff. And he looks over at me and he's like, no, a place to pray.
Nice.
And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that, right? Like,
open, that's mouth, a sting. Insert foot.
For sure. But I mean, I was talking to another brother the other day who was asking me to go to India and to go help him teach. And all these people are just starving, hungry, spiritually, mm-hmm. you know, some physically, but spiritually. And he goes, Brian, they need to be taught better how to pray and walk through some of those things. He's like, but you don't need to teach them to pray. He's like, most of them are praying 8 hours a day.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? Right? I see Pastor Antoine in Haiti pray. Everywhere I've gone, prayer life in other cultures is vibrant and passionate. And I mean, they see their neediness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I look at, I love that this comes at the end of the fighting of the enemy, right?
Yes.
The battles against the enemy. So put these things on to fight. Listen, so much of this, we're not going to put it on because the enemy's winning. He's convinced us we don't need it.
Yeah.
I mean, prayer's cute, but you don't need it, man. What you need is you need to build up a bigger pool of money and everything for your family. What you really need is to give more time and attention to their sports. What you really need, right? All he has to do is keep us engaged with that.
Yeah.
And we're not standing. Mm-hmm. He's got us flat on the ground. So yeah, when I made that stupid comment and he said, in all seriousness, he's just like, no, my prayer closet. Mm. I was like,
wow.
Yeah. Face in the dirt. I get it. I get it. I have so much to learn from these brothers and sisters.
That's so, one of the reasons that it's so important for us, we talked about this a little bit on Sunday, why it's so important for us to be connected to other believers around the world, outside of our culture, so that we can learn from them. There's still, you know, there's also this Western kind of arrogance that comes from our wealth that says, you know, we have so much to offer them. We have so much, you know, we can help them so much. And that's true in many cases. But here's a great example of how we have something to learn from them.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not just that we can pray for our brothers and sisters in Romania now, but now they're aware of us and they can pray for us. Imagine if people like this who already had the sense of dependence that we tend to lack were to turn their prayers in our direction and start praying for us.
God, get them out of their man caves and get them in their prayer closets. That's what Yosef's going to be praying for us.
I love it. I love it. Well, I hope that's what happens, right? Yeah. It's longer, wider, and deeper. Yep. Let's go in those three directions with our prayers this week. Let's go longer.
Yeah.
More longer time. Let's go deeper. What kinds of things are you praying for? Are you praying for the advancement of the gospel? Are you praying for your brothers and sisters to know more deeply the love of Christ, like Paul prays for us? And then wider, are you praying for more people in other places?
Yes.
In the body of Christ.
And as we talked about, that bringing some kind of shame on people doesn't move you into prayer.
No.
But as you do pray, praying with others is powerful, right? Going down into the boiler room and praying is powerful. Praying with people during the week, just to call up a brother or sister and say, hey, can I pray with you before, you know, you head off to work? Or while you're commuting, you're praying, hands-free, of course.
Hands-free, always.
And eyes open, preferably, mm-hmm. as you're driving. But whatever the case may be, you're praying with others. What happens is you start to fuel off of their prayer life. They fuel off of your prayer life. You begin to worship together through prayer. But the other part is what we emphasized last year here is that we want to be better as a church about proclaiming the works of the Lord.
Mm.
When you pray and the Lord's doing something in your life and he's changing your heart and he's softening where you've been callous,
yes.
when he's answering prayers and people are coming to Christ or whatever the case may be, we have to share those things because shared answered prayer fuels more prayer.
Yes, yes, yes. Excellent. Thank you for that. I'm so glad you said that. It's not just pleading with one another to pray for me. It's also, hey, look at what God did. He answered this prayer. I'm so excited. Thank him with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, when we think about prayer time, we've said this since the beginning of the church, it normally becomes share time. right? Yes. So we don't actually pray where the power is. We share our stories about why we need the prayer, and that's 90% of the time. And then, oh, we're about to run out of time. Could somebody close us in prayer?
Let's pray real quick.
Wrong. Yeah, let's pray real quick. You love that line.
I love it.
But if there is power in sharing, let me tell you where there is a lot of power in sharing. It's the sharing about what God has done. So I wish we had a prayer and share time. Let's pray, like for a significant portion, but let's share how God has answered previous prayer.
Yeah.
That's where power comes from right there, because one, we're testifying the goodness and the power of God, but two, we're fueling ourselves to say, let's continue to pray because God listens, God answers, God is at work.
Yep. Love it.
But, you know, you can pray for me. Prayer isn't easy because we live in a battle, I believe, where the enemy is telling us prayer is not near as important as you think.
Yeah. When in fact, it's vital to the fight.
It's vital. Vital. So let's increase our prayer. Let's pray for one another. I look forward to being back with you again next week as we'll actually wrap up Ephesians this Sunday. Talk about that next week with Rabbit Trail. So I hope you'll join us for all of that. I'm Brian Payne.
I'm Andy Snyder.
The Preacher.
And the Prof. Happy trails, everybody.